What the Batch.
Episode 3 and or 4, depending on your RSS feed.
At least you're not at 5.
I did figure out that the way that it looks on iTunes, there's a 00 episode, so at least I've got that going for me.
So, welcome to the Bachelor thingamabob, what do you call them?
Recap? Podcast?
No. The group of people who really like Bachelor.
The Nation?
The
Welcome,
Nation.
Bachelor Nation?
Sure, that thing. And also people who don't watch and or like reality TV. We are the podcast for all of you.
It's inclusive. We're like a family.
And now Wes is going to tell me what happened post-drunken debauchery.
I feel like I should begin every podcast being like, hey, did you watch it? Even though I already know the answer is going to be like, no, I didn't, Wes. What a silly question that is.
Keep going.
But I did watch it. I watched parts of it twice.
Why?
Because I started it last night, and then I started it again today to make sure I didn't miss anything in the in-between.
Did you take notes?
I didn't. Well, in my head. Not on paper. The main note is that I feel bad for Rachel in that her makeup team has clearly betrayed her because throughout the entirety of this second episode of the season, she looks a bit like a doll who has been overly made up with blush on both cheeks. It's very aggressive and very distracting, and I don't really understand to what end. Having said that, though, the dresses that she wears, on point. And she finds furs. Like, she finds opportunities to just wear... Like, you're in Los Angeles. You don't need a fur.
Correct.
There's no weather in which that, like, mandates a fur when you're shooting this in the middle of, like, the springtime. And yet, there she is in a black dress with, like, a gold fur. Good for you, Rachel.
Some old Hollywood looks.
Yes. So, this week, Rachel begins actually dating the men who have maintained active status on the show.
Most of which I maintain are still garbage.
I don't disagree with that. I would say that at least 85% of the men that are still there are garbage.
A low number, but I'll allow it.
And two group dates. One one-on-one date.
So did they divide half the men into one and half the men into the other?
Some men don't get to go on a date.
Oh.
And that's particularly relevant because Brian, who was the clear front runner last week, fades into the background for the entirety of this episode and doesn't go on either group date. And I was sitting there thinking, where is Brian? Until he shows up at the very end to be like, hey, I'm still here, Rachel. And she's like, Brian, I remember you. Like, we made out last week. It was great. Like,
please tell me that's almost a verbatim quote.
She pulls him aside. She's like, I just want to let you know that even though you didn't go on either group date, like, I didn't go on either group date week one of my season of Nick's year, so it doesn't mean anything. Except it means everything because she didn't win her season. So it's like saying, hey.
But she got really far along because yeah. This isn't just about love. It's also a competition.
It's like, Brian, you can also be a loser and potentially be the next Bachelor.
And still be a winner.
Yeah, like, I'm here to help you. Don't worry. It's just a very strange thing because he got so much airtime last week. And then this week he's around for maybe 35 seconds.
Okay.
The group dates themselves are fantastically Bachelorette-esque. The first one is about being husband material.
Okay.
So they get the most natural guest stars possible for that, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis.
What?
Yes.
Did Mila Kunis bring a bottle of her well-aged... Was she Jack Daniels spokesperson?
It's not Jack Daniels. It's not... It might be Jameson?
No, it's not Jameson.
It's some kind of, like, whiskey, though. It's Jim Beam.
Jim Beam.
Yeah, it is.
Did she give everyone Jim Beam?
No, she just shows up, and then Ashton's like, hey, someone told me I looked like a guy who used to compete on this show. So then Mila made me watch it. And then, And then we reached out to producers and we're like, hey, we're not doing anything. Can we be, like, guests on the show? That's almost verbatim what Ashton, like, says. And so they appear. And because apparently they're the last bastion of successful marriages in Hollywood, they then help Rachel find someone who is husband material. And it's a relay race of the men who are chosen for this first date. They have to change a diaper on, like, a baby doll, and then put that baby in a baby Bjorn, and then run a vacuum over a fake carpet in the middle of, like, nowhere, and then wash some dishes and find a ring that may have dropped down the sink.
What? I mean, like, okay, all of this kind of made stupid amount of sense. And then that.
I think the idea is, like, if your wife is doing the dishes for you and then her, like, her ring drops down the sink.
Take your ring off before you do the dishes.
You know, there's larger issues with this challenge. namely that Waboom, our dear friend Lucas, decides that he's going to have a reckless disregard for the baby that he's wearing.
That seems like he does not understand what they're asking him to do.
And yet he won the challenge. And
what? No.
Yes.
No, I call shenanigans unacceptable.
So did every other man competing in the challenge. It was like a real mixed bag. It included the Tickle Monster.
He really needs his own theme song.
Jack Stone.
Porn star Jack Stone.
Porn star Jack Stone. Iggy, who continues to have next to no personality and was like the first person out. Fred of
Carlton.
Yeah, Carlton, aka you are my camp counselor and I love you forever and ever. And then the only people that matter, which is Kenny, Dean, and Waboom. And Waboom shouldn't matter, except that he largely cheats and wins the competition.
How did he cheat?
While doing the dishes, aka looking for the ring, he pretty much drowned the baby doll. Like, if this had been a baby, it spent a solid minute, it's like head in the water, submerged. And Blake, there, and still on the show, only to point out all the things that he hates about Waboom, is quick to tell Rachel, well, I feel like he cheated, so he shouldn't have won this. To which Rachel and the producers both say, Blake, go home. Waboom doesn't really get anything for winning the date. He's supposed to get extra time with Rachel.
I mean, you're Waboom. Do you need more time?
I mean, he's all the time he can get to promote the brand, and yet he doesn't spend any extra time with her. He beat Kenny by stiff-arming him, and that has to be the most demoralizing thing for Kenny. Like, if you're a wrestler, like, that's your job. And, like, Lucas Waboom walking ad for his own website and t-shirt company, like, stiff arms you in the neck to win this first challenge.
And drowns the baby.
And drowns the baby. I really hope it was one of the ones that, like, I had in health class in high school where the whole chip just shut down if you killed it. And it wasn't. It was just, like, something you could buy from a Toys R Us for $3. And the challenge would have been way more interesting if you actually had to take care of the baby. Like, if the baby was unsettled, then you got kicked out. Because as it was, like, Lucas wins, and he spikes the baby on the ground as a way of saying, like, yes, I am victorious in this. It doesn't do anything to endear him to me, the audience, Rachel. But
this is Waboom.
But the producers, probably, yes.
This is Waboom. We don't actually functionally care, because he's, again, the pastime, the group.
Yeah, and so then they go to their after date, and the after date is like, we're gonna put on nice outfits, Rachel's gonna put on a dress, we're gonna drink through the night and talk about life and hopefully get close to her. And that's where Waboom should be getting the extra time. He doesn't get any. Kenny, who finished second, gets in there and is like, hey, I should win the show. Because I'll say it every week, but Kenny should probably win the show. You know, like, he's got a 10-year-old daughter. He reminds her of that. He reminds her that he's ready to start a family and have a wife. and that everyone else around him is just heinous.
And a child, apparently.
Correct. Because what inspires him to just be like, fuck this shit, I'm going to talk to Rachel, is Blake and Waboom arguing about how they've known each other. And so I've...
What? Wait, do they know each other?
Well, so that's the thing, right? I've learned more since we recorded last week's podcast by diving deep into the internet.
Oh, no. I'm surprised you surfaced for this podcast.
Blake and Lucas were on a previous reality show together. This is not their first reality show.
I'm assuming this is pre-Lucas branding himself Waboom?
No. This is now the fourth show that Lucas has been on branding himself as the Waboom Man.
Oh.
He and Blake did a show called Exiled, which lived on the Wii Network, a channel that I could not find on our DVR if I remember you talking about this. And they skirt around that. Like, they don't want to talk about the fact that the two of them had previously been on a show. So Blake just says a lot of things about how Lucas is there for the wrong reasons, and he's known Lucas for a long time. I guess in real life, Blake lives with Lucas's ex-girlfriend.
What?
Which is particularly strange, but he decides to go with that knowledge to Rachel and tell her, Lucas is here for the wrong reasons. He just wants to promote the brand. I live with his ex-girlfriend. She hates him. I hate him. Everyone in real life hates him. And Rachel looks at him and goes, yeah, but Blake, what about you? Like, what about you and me? What about you trying to date me? And he's like, well, it was good talking to you. And just walks away. So,
is this the guy who wanted to be the cop of the house?
The cop of the house. This is the man with the wonderful penis. The penis that, like,
oh, all... the aspiring drummer.
Yes.
Oh. Oh, he's still around?
Oh, he'll be there.
Oh, that's right. He's the producer's pick.
He'll be there until my guess is next week. When I, you know, if I was a betting man, I would say both him and Lucas will go. I think they'll both, like, cancel each other out. And that's why I think The Bachelorette, and this franchise in general, is very frustrating, because the spoiler alert is no one goes home this week because they just, like, don't get up to the elimination.
Oh. They don't even tease you with it?
They tease you with the idea of, like, here's a cocktail party, but, like, we're not going to get to the elimination tonight, so, like, come back next week. And they did that a lot on Nick's season, but with Nick, like, he just never did a rose ceremony. He just would eliminate girls when they least expected it. I love that.
That sounds vicious and brutal.
Oh, they'd be in the middle of a date, and he'd just be like, yeah, I'm not feeling it. You can go home now. And it was, like, raw and, like, probably not fun for them.
No.
It feels like Rachel's going to stick more to, like, what the original sort of format of the show is, but they're still going to find ways to make things overlap. All in all, I would say the first date is mostly, like, the first group date's mostly a mess. Dean, the 25-year-old, who asked her, you know, if it was okay, if he could go black and never go back.
Yeah, that guy.
They bring that up again, and she
never
tells...
Never let it die.
Well, she tells him that he stole her joke. That she was prepared to say to some of the white guys, like, once you go black, you'll never go back, but he stole her thunder. And that's when she knew she was really into him. So he gets the group date rose, and he gets to make out with her. He walks to the car. And what's particularly amusing to this is she just gets done saying to Kenny, like, hey, you're 35, you're an adult, like, that's great, there's a lot of people here that aren't. And then with the way the edit works, a minute later, she's out by the limo making out with a 25-year-old kid who's the youngest contestant on the show and talking about what a wonderful kisser he is. I don't think Dean will be long for this show. I mean, I think he'll be around long enough that he'll be on Paradise, which starts shooting this week in Cancun, but I don't think that he'll, like, be a finalist.
I don't even know who Dean is, so sure.
Then there is a one-on-one date. Except it's really a two-on-one date because Rachel decides to bring her dog, Copper.
What breed is Copper? And again, Copper should win the show.
I have no idea what kind of breed Copper is. I know that he has a broken leg.
Oh, no.
And he wears a dog cast. And it's very cute, but also kind of sad. And probably painful for him to run around on.
Copper for the win.
The one-on-one date is a dog pool party.
No.
That's kind of how I feel. It seems awful to me. I would not want to go on this, but she picks up Peter.
Which one is Peter?
Peter is the one that has the same sort of gap between his front two teeth as she does.
That's not helpful.
He is a former model. I can't tell you what he does now. I feel like I did know this, but I don't remember. He lived in Los Angeles temporarily. Now he lives back where he's from in Wisconsin. And he's been to Palm Springs. She hasn't. He's very excited. They go to Palm Springs.
Okay, generic dude.
Yes. Well, not generic, because Jimmy Kimmel has picked him out to be the winner. And the last, like, four seasons of this franchise... Wait,
did you fill out a bracket?
Did I? Well, I do have a fantasy bracket, yes, on the ABC ESPN website.
Okay, I feel like we need to address this at some point.
I mean, I've obviously chosen Kenny to win the show.
Yes, I think we all know that.
Because if you haven't chosen Kenny to win the show, you're wrong, including Rachel.
Who has Rachel picked to win the show so far?
I would say, well, she's told everyone that she's engaged in real life, like that this has worked out for her. But like, given two episodes into the show, I would say the front runner is probably Peter.
I don't know who Peter is, but okay. Generic dude.
His one-on-one date went very well. That's what you need to know. Like, on the back of a group date that was kind of a mess, Peter's one-on-one date went well.
I feel like that's just inevitable, though.
I don't know. Like, if you took me to Palm Springs and told me I had to go to a dog pool party, I don't know that I would have been the best sport for this. I mean, he plays along very well. He does his best. It mostly looks insufferable to me. And Rachel's like, oh, my dog doesn't like water, but it's floating around in a kiddie pool. There's, like, a grown-up pool, and there's dog pools, and all of it just looks so awful.
No, this sounds absolutely terrible.
But after that, they go to dinner, and she asks Peter, like, you're so attractive, why are you still single? And he more or less reveals that he had moved back from L.A. He got into, like, a relationship. He thought it was heading somewhere. The girl didn't. Rachel's like, oh, you're so wonderful. Like, I would never do that to you. Except no. She probably will later in the season.
That sounds like literally everyone in this world's story.
Yes. Then they talked about how they have the same gap between their teeth and how an orthodontist told Rachel it gives her character, so she never got it fixed. Peter reveals that everyone in his family has it, so if they have kids, actual sentence, those kids are almost certain to have this gap between their teeth. It feels like a real aggressive move on date one, but Rachel loves it. They make out.
I can't fault her for getting her own. Like, you go, girl.
They cut this back and forth with the downfall of DeMario.
DeMario.
Yes. Last week, I incorrectly guessed who would be caught up in a cheating scandal. And ABC wastes no time letting you know, hey.
It's DeMario.
Because the edit of this episode so aggressively wants you to realize, like, DeMario... Yeah, he's a cheater. It brings everything into context, because, like, having not known it, it was really weird to me that Chris Harrison, on the first thing that we watched, on, the Facebook Live nonsense, was like, hey, don't trust DeMario. And then in the first episode of this, Sarah Vendel was like, hey, don't trust DeMario.
Who's Sarah Vendel?
Sarah is a former competitor on The Bachelor who came back to advise Rachel. Or she wasn't actually there, but, like, she spoke to one of the other girls who then spoke to Rachel and was like, hey, Sarah went to college with this guy, don't trust him.
Okay.
And it's a weird thing that they had left in that first episode. I'm like, given all the time that these women probably spent together, that the cameras were just rolling, talking about the men and the experience, why leave that? Well, the answer is because DeMario probably isn't someone you should trust. He... rants and raves to the other men in the house about how, like, I'm gonna be husband material, I got this whole thing in the bag, like, I'm ready to go. And flash forward to group day two, where we have guest Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, they brought him in early.
Yes, there to help the men figure out what teamwork is.
Why, but why are they teamworking together?
Because a man that can work with other men and be part of a team is the man you want to marry. I think that was the theme. I don't know. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said a lot of aphorisms that made no sense to me. That felt like one of them.
Yeah. You've literally put them in a situation where they are technically in competition with each other, and then you're telling them teamwork is what... I can't. Okay, keep going, please.
So the group date included Will.
He's got a name. He's a dude. Okay.
The one who pretended to be Steve Urkel. Jamie, who I could not pull out of a lineup. Diggy, who still feels like he'll be Final Four material. Alex.
Good name.
Adam, who brought the doll with him.
Oh, no.
He didn't bring the doll on the date, though, so I think the doll may be gone for good. Lee, the aspiring country singer and general awful human being. Matt, who dressed like a penguin and I didn't recognize until they were like, oh, that's the guy who dressed like the penguin last episode.
They should just give him a shirt with a penguin on it for the rest of the season.
Eric and Josiah, both of whom are clear front runners in this competition. So they have all of them. And then DeMario, who's there. And you could just tell. You could feel like this is not headed in DeMario's direction.
I feel like in today's modern society, if somebody says, hey, he cheated, here's evidence. He's screwed.
You would think so. I gotta give DeMario a lot of credit here. Because...
Do you?
He's a fuckboy to the next level. The fuckboy antics that DeMario pulls out of the bag in this episode are truly tremendous. they play their basketball game. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar watches them horrified by how bad they all are at this.
Fair.
DeMario arguably seems like the best at this game. He blocks people. He steals the ball.
He asked to do these things or did he just... do them.
He stuffed like Rachel when she went to shoot a basketball, so like he really wanted to show that like he was the guy.
Sure, okay.
The game ends, his team loses, everybody's like, well, we scored 30 points total, so we're kind of scrubs because this was like a full basketball game. They got an audience full of people that had nothing better to do for a day and came to a high school to watch this happen. Like, I've seen high school basketball games, and they're pretty terrible to watch. This seemed like it was worse than that. And all the guys go back to the locker room to, like, sit and reminisce on, you know, whether they've made colossally poor life choices doing this show, because it shows that they're not athletic. Enter Lexi. Lexi is...
She from a different season?
No. She's from an episode of Maury. That's how I could best describe her. She shows up and taps Rachel on the shoulder like, hey, just so you know, I used to date DeMario until he didn't come home one night to do this show.
Okay, you're going to tell me that somebody walked onto the set of the show that they're filming, got through all of the crew to the star of the show and just tapped her on the shoulder.
No. I mean, yes, that's how it's presented. More likely, what had happened was DeMario, as one of the first couple guys that were on Nick's After the Rose special, meeting Rachel early on, alerted Lexi, a wonderful young woman who he was having sex with at the time, that he would not be having sex with her anymore by appearing on national television to date somebody else. And then she contacted these producers, the other... via email or Twitter. Either way, she finds herself in this high school basketball gymnasium trying very hard to be a viral meme and failing. To say that Lexi is white trash would be an overstatement, but also potentially offensive to white trash because she really hardcore wants to be famous off of being cheated on by a contestant who's going to go home on the second week of The Bachelorette. Like, none of her strategy makes sense
here. But did he cheat on her?
Well, yes. I mean, yes and no.
So I don't see the problem because he's using this to be famous. So, you know, fuck him for cheating on her.
So that's the thing. And this is where DeMario, like, some next level fuckboy shit.
A fuckboy. Like, absolutely not. He deserves everything he gets. Light him on fire.
Rachel comes and pulls him out of the locker room and is like, hey, I got somebody you should meet. And he's like, awesome.
Oh, does he think that this is like, I'm in.
He thinks he's gotten the group date rose. He's, like, very excited, you know, because he killed it in this basketball game by scoring, like, 4 points.
Is there only one group date rose? Is there not just one of those per group?
There's one per group. So Dean had won the group date rose for the first group date, but this is now the second one. This is the basketball date. Mm-hmm. He was the only one that really scored points. He had stuffed the ball. He thought, like, all right, I showed my athletic prowess. I'm getting this.
Sure.
He walks out of the locker room and sees his ex-girlfriend, potentially current girlfriend, you know, depending on how you look at it. And he goes, oh, hey, who's this?
No.
he tried to new phone who this her.
In person.
Which wasn't
Mario.
It wasn't a sound strategy because he then had to backtrack. When she was like, we've had sex before, and he was like,
please tell me what something like, do you know who this is? No, I've never seen her in my life. We've had sex before. Oh, her.
Well, she was like, we had sex the night before you came on this show. Like, you have keys to my apartment. How dare you? And rather than, like, hold his ground, which is what he should have done.
Which is, I just don't know who you are. Who's this crazy person?
Either that or go the opposite direction and be like, look, yes, we dated. No, I didn't think it was working. I decided to go in a different direction. She's taking it in a very different way.
Well, no, because if he could actually imagine saying that, he would be a functional human adult.
Well, you can be a great liar. He splits the difference, which is to say that he doesn't provide anything meaningful. And just goes, I mean, we were together, then we weren't together, then I came on the show, I don't know, what do you want me to say? Like, she's a crazy person.
Don't say that. I hope, please tell me that Rachel didn't buy that bullshit and is now BFFs with...
And Rachel goes, well, what do you mean she's a crazy person? He's like, obviously if she's showing up here and wiling out like this and just, yeah... yelling about how I have keys to her apartment. She's a crazy person. She's not the kind of person I would want to date to begin with. So, like, I had to walk away from that, and now I'm coming to a grown-ass woman, which is you, and, like, I'm here.
Please, please tell me Rachel had none of that bullshit.
Well, Lexi goes, how dare you gonna say that? You still got the keys to my apartment. She was really hung up on him having keys to her apartment. And I'm like, well, maybe don't hand out keys to your apartment that way. And DeMario goes, hey, yeah, I remember. I mailed those back to you. Which is tremendous. I put those in the mail. You must not have got them.
Wow.
And she's like, no, I'm pretty sure I would have got them if you put them in the mail. They're somewhere in your apartment. So Rachel gives DeMario every opportunity at this juncture to explain himself. She's like, tell me your side of the story. Because to be fair, Lexi does come off crazy. As somebody that doesn't know either of them in real life, I thought, well, they probably deserve each other because he's a fuckboy and she's psychotic. And both of them can go live happily ever after away from Rachel, who's a grown-ass woman and wants nothing to do with either of them. But he just, like, subverts things until finally, like, Lexi shows text messages that prove that he didn't really cut anything off. And the night before he came on the show, he told her he was going to work on himself and get back to her.
You know, after he gets kicked off the show and or ends up engaged.
Yeah. So Rachel's like, fuck you, get the fuck out of here.
Good.
Like, she actually drops the F-bomb, and then she turns to the producers and was like, I know that you staged this, and like, fuck you guys, this is not what I signed up for.
Oh, wow. Breaking the curtain.
And I thought, like, okay, so... this is how you frame this, is like, she's not the bachelorette you're used to. Like, she's being very, like, open.
Right, like, this is real.
Yeah, and they didn't do that, which is weird. I don't know if it's because they were worried about how it'd make them look, but obviously, in the same way that you knew immediately, like, this had to be staged, so did Rachel. Like, this doesn't happen. This right. random girl doesn't appear out of nowhere and get through security and all the layers and things to reveal this information. But she takes some time. She breathes. She goes back to the other men, and she's like, look, if you're dating anybody else, leave the show right now. Like, I'm not here for this. I'm here to find a husband. And then they go to the evening portion of the date where she spends individual one-on-one time with each of them. Josiah makes great strides to, like, nip at Kenny's heels. He's no Kenny, because no one on this show is Kenny. But he does nip at his heels. He gets the group date rose because he makes Rachel feel safe. Mm-hmm. Largely by being like, if I saw DeMario in person, I'd beat the shit out of him.
I feel like a lot of people would, but sure.
Yes. But none of the other guys are willing to go that far. They're all sort of willing to be like, well, DeMario's terrible. I can't believe he did this to you. But Josiah's just like, just so you know, I'm like, I'm here and I'm ready. Like, at a moment's notice, you let me know. I'm ready to go. Nothing else really stands out about the individual portions of, like, that one-on-one, or the later section of the debate, the date. People sort of come and go. The country singer seems really insipid. Like, I know that he's going to be the villain of the season, not just because they've framed all of the trailers for the remainder of the season that way, but because he just seems awful. Like, Josiah being like, hey, I would get physical with DeMario is a strategy because he's like, I'm never going to see DeMario again.
Sure.
So you say those empty threats because they make you sound great. Lane is over here being like, I'll fight everybody. Like, I'm ready to go. Like, I'm just ready to fight some people. Or Lee. Lee. He's like, I'll fight some people. Like, you let me know who you want me to fight, what? And I'll fight them.
Fisticuffs?
And it's like, okay, Lee, go home. You'd lose in a fight to most every man that's on this show. And so, like, part of me really does hope that this comes to a real fight. Because I just, like, I don't think it ends in his favor. So, flash forward again. Now we're back at the house. Time for a cocktail party. Rachel's back in her furs. This is where we come back to seeing Brian, and she's like, hey, Brian, don't worry, you didn't go on a date. I'm like, oh, Brian's still here. Okay, I was like, it still seems like a weird choice to me. You have the clear front runner, you don't invite him on a date. He gets over it. One of the guys is like, I want to build a life with you, so here's a Barbie and Ken dream house. And what? Like,
no.
And like, I'm Barbie. You're Barbie. Yeah, being I'm more excited. I'm a Barbie
girl.
You're Barbie, I'm Ken, let's play with this dollhouse.
No, that sounds super creepy and just the world of no.
Yeah, it's not super attractive. Like, I didn't watch it and like, oh, this is very romantic.
No, because it's not, it's creepy.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the guys just sort of fade into the background. Like,
the creepy background?
Well, the thing is, we're 2 weeks in and already I'm like, a lot of these guys are so forgettable. And not forgettable in the way that, like, they'll go home next week, which some of them will. But forgettable in a way that, like, they're not even going to have a future on Paradise. Like, I, as a casting director, I'm like, there are a couple guys where I'm like, so DeMario, as he's getting railed on by his ex-girlfriend, I'm like, welcome to Paradise, DeMario. Like, pack your bags. I'll see you in Cancun in a week. Because he could bring the ex-girlfriend with him, and that would still, like, make sense on Paradise. Like, if he brought her as, like, a show-and-tell gift. Like, the producers would be like, thank God, this is amazing. You know, it doesn't work for The Bachelorette, but for that, like, why not? You know, Dean, if Dean is not The Bachelor, which I think he might be too young for, I see him on Paradise. There are a couple of these guys where you're like, okay. You know, Peter probably goes too far. Peter probably goes too far to be on Paradise, because if you get to a certain point, then they don't want you there because it would ruin the suspense of the show. Because the cast does leak out, and people find out by creeping on, like, airports to figure out who's flying to Cancun.
That's so insane.
Yeah. Yes and no.
The deep diver.
By the time we record this next podcast, I will know who's going to Paradise. I just won't reveal it because I don't want to spoil it for other people, but I will have done that deep dive. So while talking to Carlton, a.k.a. Fred, a.k.a. former camp member, Chris Harrison approaches Rachel to tell her, I got some news. And let me tell you, Chris is excited because this is now the second time in this episode he's gotten called on unexpectedly to appear on camera. And that's what Chris waits for. He waits in the shadows.
Can't do it without him.
For someone to be like, hey, we need you. And then he descends upon it like Batman.
Summon Chris. That guy.
And he's like, Rachel, we got a surprise guest at the front gate for you.
She not still pissed after the whole other ordeal?
And she's like, who is the surprise guest? And he's like, it's DeMario.
No. And, no, just no.
And then cut to that front gate, and there's DeMario. He's like, my character was assassinated today.
Please tell me that she just left him out there, because no.
Well, there would be no cliffhanger then.
Oh, it just cut off?
Because the cliffhanger that prevents us from actually getting any elimination this week is her deciding whether or not she's going to go outside and speak to him. And she says, wait, is there security outside?
Wow, what a question.
And Chris Harrison's like, of course, this is the Bachelorette. We have the most top-notch security in all of, like, Vista Hills.
Oh, that's a real selling point right there.
And so she's like, I'll have a conversation with him then, as long as security's out there. And she starts to walk out, and Lee, the troublemaker that he is...
that rascal Lee!
...tells all the other men in the house, hey, I see DeMario outside. We gotta go take care of him.
There's gonna be a rumble and hopefully a well-choreographed dance number.
Yes, and then like West Side Story, which you're referencing, all of the men round up... and descend upon the parking lot of the Bachelor Mansion to potentially fight DeMario with pitchforks. And that is where we get a to be continued.
I really feel like your retelling of this was far more entertaining than what actually happened.
I mean, it's, I read a lot of people's like sort of hot takes on Twitter and whatnot about how The Bachelorette is way more entertaining than The Bachelor. And it's because, like, all these guys are super alpha and they're really butting heads and kind of locking horns. And having watched this, I really do question what show they were watching. Because until the very last sort of 2 minutes where these guys are like, we're ready to go fight DeMario in the parking lot. Which, like, there's 28 of you and one of him. I get, you know, you're going
to
win.
Well, also don't forget we apparently can look forward to chest shaving. Like, well, mutual public... chest shaving.
I feel like they won't show that, but I wish they did. But I think it's just gonna be like a reference, but not shown.
Oh no, that's no fun.
But like most of these guys kind of suck, and not suck in the sense that like they're on the show. Suck in the sense of like they're just boring. You know, with like last season with Nick's season, Nick's a kind of boring bachelor, and everyone accepted that. He was really doing the image rehab thing. He didn't want to be the guy that just had sex with all the girls, even though he probably could have. So they relied on the women to be like exciting, and they were. Like they were entertaining and not necessarily catty. I mean, like Corinne was her own thing, and Corinne, you know, she was trying to make America Corinne again. But watching this, I'm like, all right, Josiah made an impact. Peter made an impact because he got a one-on-one date. Brian made an impact because he didn't do anything in this episode, but he made out with her a lot last episode. And Kenny made an impact because she should win the show. And that's it. Like, those are the four guys out of, like, 25 to 28 who are left who have made any... Well, Dean, because he's 25 and too young to be on the show. Those are the five men that made an impact. And... I guess it's early, and there's plenty of time, and, like, DeMario got a handful of the screen time this week because he's getting kicked off. I mean, I don't see any scenario in which Rachel goes out there to have this conversation with him in the parking lot of the mansion, and is like, you know what? Your character was assassinated today. I'm gonna let you back in the house.
Unless she wants to double eliminate him and bring him back just to eliminate him again, which I am here for.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. If she tells all the other guys to be quiet and is like, I'm going to let him back in the house, and then immediately does a rose ceremony and doesn't give him a rose, That would be savage. And I would respect the hell out of her for that. But I don't see it. I think it's going to be like all these guys want to come to defend her honor. And she's like, hey, you don't need to defend my honor. I'm perfectly capable of eliminating him myself. I already did it once. Like, leave this house to Mario.
Banished.
And then he'll go home to Lexi, whose, you know, house keys he mailed.
Can't go home again. He mailed the keys in.
He'll have to knock on the door, and she'll let him in because,
No, Lexi, you're better than him.
No, she's not.
She is.
You didn't watch it, but here's...
I don't care. She's automatically better than he is.
Here's where Lexi lost me. Allie Barthwell at Vulture nailed it. So I want to give her credit because she was like, this girl wants to be the Catch Me Outside girl. And like...
No, that's a bad life goal.
That's what Lexi aspires to be. Like, she turns to the camera full on and stares down the barrel of the camera at one point during this episode and is like, I got you now. I got you now. I told everybody in America that you're a cheater. And the cameraman is probably sitting behind this just being like, no. This isn't good for you. It's definitely not good for him. But like, he comes off kind of like that lovable, like, fuckboy. And you come off like the crazy person that's just yelling down the barrel of a camera. No. She's not getting any followers on Instagram off of this, which is what I think her hope was. And DeMario's gonna go do Paradise, you know? Because he won't be back on the show next week.
Sure.
But on a whole, I mean, it's another week. I don't have anything to say about people going home because no one went home. And that's largely my problem with this franchise, which is that, like, they seem to have intermittent weeks of people going home and not going home.
It's not well balanced enough for you.
I just wish every show ended with, like, here's a couple people going home. It's just a more succinct way to end it. Like, that's every reality show, though. And I think they want the to be continued moment, and that's fine. But, like, give me more of an elimination than just DeMario. Like, eliminate two guys and be like, well, who's going to get that last rose to be continued? And then come back and reveal that, if that's what you need to do to stretch it out. But if someone was getting eliminated every episode, you wouldn't really need to do that. I think they have 8 weeks. I think that's how many weeks the show runs. You just stretch out your eliminations a little bit more. Like, send one or two guys home a week, and then you could have people going home every episode, like, consistently.
Sure. All I know is that at some point I'm just going to fade this podcast out on that last, like, 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, that's it. I got nothing else to say. You can follow us at what_
What the Batch with an underscore.
No, that's wrong. This is wrong on iTunes, too. I looked this up, what? Right? Yeah, it's what_the_batch. I don't know if there's another underscore.
Biking the Part by Lee Rosevere. Our outro music is Already There by Josh Woodward.